Being at the prayer meeting is not enough. There must be a burden. A burden is, you know why many of our prayers are not answered? It's like trying to have a baby without carrying it in the womb. And, the way God intended babies to be born is a mother carries that baby in the womb for number of months, and the mother so burdened about it and loves it so much, and then one day it's born. And in the Bible, prayer is compared to carrying a baby. Paul speaks about, uses such expressions. And so, a burden in our hearts for something is usually the type of prayer that gets answered. Otherwise, you know, a lot of our prayers would just come from our lips. It can be real desire, but without a burden. So I've always said there are two requirements for answered prayer. One is burden and the other is faith. Without faith, we won't get anything. And without a burden, I don't know how long it will last, prayer. A burden means there's an intense desire. You know, I think of Hannah in the Old Testament when she didn't have children. And Rachel also, give me children or I die. Wow. Wow, what a way to pray. Give me children or I die. But I thought of that expression in relation to seeking God for something. You know, we pray like that when we have a personal need, family need. And in the early days of our Christian life, it is true that our life is self-centered. We are all born self-centered. And to move from self-centered to Christ-centered is a journey. And I don't think any of us will ever accomplish it fully on this earth. I can't say today that my life is totally Christ-centered. Because, to the best of my knowledge, I'm not seeking my own in anything, but it comes down to little things like, how much do I read the news, world news? There's nothing sinful about it. We want to know what's happening in the world. But I ask myself, would Jesus be that interested in all this world news? So I have to discipline myself in some of these things. How interested would Jesus be in what's happening to Trump in the United States? I don't know. So I have to, but I'd like to know a little bit because of what's happening in the world. But that's what I mean. I say, Lord, I want to pursue this journey towards being totally Christ-centered, but these are the areas I still struggle with. Say, Lord, I want to be really think about the things that Jesus thought about and spend my time looking at things that Jesus would look at and speak about the things Jesus would speak about. I want to have a burden that all of my life will be Christ-centered. But it's a journey from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness. So a lot of self-centeredness is world-centeredness. The world around us is such an influence on us to move towards Christ-centeredness. But all I'm trying to say is, but I'm not condemned by it. I'm not condemned that I'm not totally Christ-centered. I'm encouraged that I'm moving in that direction. Because when I compare myself with 1 year ago, I say, hey, it's better. So he who has this hope purifies himself as Christ is pure. I want to encourage all of you, if you want to see more answered prayer, try to speed up this journey from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness. Say, Lord, I know I won't get to there till the end of my life, but I want to get as far as possible, because the more I get there, the more effective my prayer will be. I often think of the Old Testament example of the prophets of Baal praying for hours, nothing happening, and Elijah praying for half a minute and the fire fell. And of course, Jesus was the greatest of them all. He could pray for anything. And when you believe that Jesus was a man like us, we see that in relation to sin, that he was tempted like us. But he was 100% a man. In other words, he limited himself, that he did not do things as God, even though he had the power of God. So, as I see, there are only two things which he had to do as God. One was accepting worship, which I can't do, and forgive sins. He could tell people, your sins are forgiven, I'm telling you that. I can't do that on my own authority. I can point them to Scripture. Worship we can never accept. But apart from those two things, Jesus never did anything which he didn't do as a man. Everything I see, he did as a man. We read that he overcame gravity when he walked on the water. Philip also overcame gravity in Acts chapter 8 when the Holy Spirit took him from one place to another. He overcame gravity. So everything that Jesus did, others, a man can do. So I was thinking also of Jesus' prayer life. He could pray and he knew something would happen. And that's because I think of that Roman centurion's statement when he told Jesus, my servant is sick far away, so many kilometers away, but standing here, if you tell that sickness to go, it'll go. And he said, because I am a man under authority. And because I am under authority, when I tell a soldier to go, he goes. And he knew that Jesus had such power. And you know, a military man can always recognize another military man. So he knew Jesus was some type of military man under some authority, that there was a bearing about him which showed that he was a man under authority. And he had authority. So I thought of that expression. I said, Lord, the reason why things happened when Jesus prayed was because he was so 100% under his Father's authority, to such an extent that he would not even eat bread without asking the Father, I've got the power, but shall I turn these stones into bread or not? The equivalent for us is, Lord, I've got the money, but should I spend it on this or not? It's quite an intense way of living, where every single step I'm seeking the Lord, when I have the resources, whether I should use it for something legitimate. For something wrong, I know I shouldn't use it, but something legitimate, can I use it for this? And the more I get into that place where I seek the Lord about everything, the more I will have authority in prayer and to get answers from God. And that is God's will for His children. So I want to say that to all of you, I want to encourage you to get into this pursuit of walking in Jesus' footsteps, seeking to be free from sin, always cleansing ourselves from anything that brings a slight disconnection with God. I just want to say I've become more sensitive to that in the last 1 year than before. It's not that I always hated sin, but it's a question of knowing not what just sin is, but anything that comes short of the glory of God, that is sin. Sometimes it's not the crude things which the world calls sin, but more subtle things out there. I say that if we seek to live like that every day when we come together for prayer, there's real power, even in our private prayer.